Welcome to the No BS Spiritual Book Club's live streaming interview series, where leading New Thought teachers, speakers, and authors share the intimate stories behind the 10 best spiritual books that inspired them the most on their spiritual journey. From well-known classics to hidden gems you might never have heard of, the No BS Spiritual Book Club saves you time and money by sharing reliable recommendations from those who've walked the path before you. The No BS Spiritual Book Club, the only No BS guide to the best spiritual books to inspire your own journey of self-discovery. Here's your host, founder of the No BS Spiritual Book Club, Sandy Sedgebeer.
Hello and welcome. Joining me today to share the 10 spiritual books that inspired her the most on her life journey is author, healthcare expert, and educator, Rena Greenberg, who's helped over 200,000 people find their journey to health. Rena's health and well-being programs are sponsored by over 75 US hospitals and 100 major US corporations, including Disney, Home Depot, and AT&T, and they have been featured widely in the national press. Rena Greenberg, welcome.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Ah, it's our pleasure. Rena, you hold a master's degree in divinity from the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism. So tell me when your interest in spiritual healing and Sufism first began.
Well, I actually fell into the Sufism path, but as far as my interest in spirituality and healing, it's been since I was a small child. I have always felt a very strong relationship with a higher power that I did always call God quite comfortably. It didn't feel like the same God that was necessarily being shoved down my throat with my religious education. It felt sort of like a separate God that was in my heart. And even as a child, through any difficulty, I would always write to God. I don't know where I got that from, but it was very, very helpful. I didn't know anything about manifestation, but so much manifestation came to me. I just remember even being 10 or 11 years old and writing, you know, dear God, I would love to meet some friends. And then I would go out in my neighborhood and walk, and there I'd meet, you know, some wonderful people. And it's just so many stories like that in my life. And so I fell into the Sufi path later, and by accident, I was just having lunch with a friend, and she started talking about this path of opening the heart, and it completely resonated for me. And within a few weeks, I had enrolled in this University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism and ended up staying on that path for 10 years, and it's always with me in my heart. And it really helped me even move more deeply in my relationship with God.
So were you reading spiritual books before you went to the university?
I'd say I really started reading spiritual books. You know, I got sick in my early 20s, quite sick. And before that, I was leading a very, very fast-paced life. I was traveling and working in entertainment and fashion and having a lot of fun as a young woman in Manhattan. And all of a sudden, it was like literally as if the plug was pulled out from under me. I just got very, very sick. I lost all my energy, and I didn't know what happened. So I started reading avidly. At first, I started reading a lot just about health, nutrition, herbs, wellness. And that was all very, very helpful. And then I started to move in the direction of finding spiritual books and reading spiritual books. And I just became so absorbed in these books, and they really inspired me, and they helped me to heal and to change my perspective. And, you know, sometimes I hear people say, oh, if you're sick, it's not your fault. And no, of course it's not your fault, but it can be an amazing opportunity to go deeper and discover new places within yourself that are more connected to the divine that can even help you through these trying times. Even as you go through them, because they are, whether you believe that the law of attraction or destiny, there they are, but clinging to spiritual teachings, a lot of which can be through books, can be a wonderful way to bring healing to yourself, to myself. And that was my journey.
Do you remember the first book you read about healing?
I think that the first book I read about healing was, believe it or not, Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. I remember being very young and sitting on a subway and just reading that book, you know, with the rainbow and the, I still probably, yeah, I have it here, my beaten up book, if you can see. And, you know, it was so inspirational. And Louise Hay also, she had had a difficult childhood. You know, she talked about in her book, very difficult. And somehow she had been inspired to, through her, she became a minister for Science of Mind, that philosophy. But it was all about affirmations and looking in the mirror and being able to look in the mirror and say, I am perfect, whole, and complete. And I had never even thought of that before, you know, the idea that I'm whole. You know, so we have all these parts of ourselves, but we're not any one part. We're whole. We're all of it. And we're complete and perfect exactly as we are, no matter what we're going through. And so it really struck a chord for me. And then interestingly, with Louise Hay, she talked about how when she was younger, she had so many books and people used to say, oh my God, I can't believe you're buying more books. When are you going to get the message? And here I started buying all these spiritual books and my husband said the same thing. When are you going to get it? Like how many books? And I remember that Louise had written that she had never expected that she would become an author and then a publisher. And so it was really interesting that later Louise Hay published my very first book, which was a book about weight loss, but really it's a spiritual book about
Interesting. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's start with your list. And the very first book on your list is an interesting one, because if you look on Wikipedia and you look at the author's bibliography, this book doesn't appear. However, I think that it is something that was published later, probably pulled together from a lot of his work. And it is Manifesting Miracles, Specific Instructions and 36 Answers to Your Questions About Manifestation by Neville Goddard.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I am so inspired by Neville Goddard. He is amazing. You know, he grew up, I think it was one of 10 children in a poor, I think it was Barbados, in an island. Yeah. And just through the power of his imagination, which I love his how he speaks. And he talks about how, in his view, imagination is God. Like the human imagination is God. And that's an incredibly empowering idea, concept. And he has all these examples about how in his own life, he would imagine a scenario, how he wanted his life to be, not necessarily how it was. And wishing good for everyone, you know, always using the imagination in the positive way. And he would imagine himself, let's say, leaving that island where he left at the age, I think, of 17, which was interesting because I also left home at 17. So I saw that connection. And he went to New York, which is where I went at 17. But he manifested himself as a, you know, a great spiritual teacher. And other, he had so many examples in his book about not just imagining, like having the thought, but also he really emphasizes the idea of feeling, having the feeling sense that something has already happened. And one of his ideas I really love, he says, imagine that you've imagined what you want and you've manifested it, and now you're telling a friend. So by you telling a friend that it actually happened, like, so let's say your idea is, I want to get to New York. Now you imagine yourself telling a friend, I got to New York and here's all the wonderful things that happened. And by doing that, you're really telling your subconscious mind that this is a fact, this is actually happening. So his ideas are very, very profound.
Very. Did you know that he was a ballet dancer for a time in New York? Yes, he was. And a ballroom dancer too, and an actor before he became a spiritual teacher. But I was checking out some of his work today, and I came across, the audience might appreciate this, there are 27 Neville Goddard original audio lectures available free to download in one zip file, and they are on archive.org. So you've got the Internet Archive, and you can actually hear him giving 27 different lectures, and it's all free.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, that is wonderful. And I'm glad somebody has made that free. Yeah. So take advantage of it. Book number two. I mean, clearly, you know, there are certain books like Louise Hay, like this one, that come up again and again and again. And it is A Course in Miracles by Helen Shipman, published in 1976. And my goodness, how that has inspired so many people.
Yes, it's an amazing, amazing book. And it's one of those books that you can go back to literally a million times and each time extract something new. The message is so deep and so profound. One of my favorite things, though, about the book, which makes it so credible, because there are so many spiritual books, but the fact you named the author Helen Shipman. But, you know, the reality is, if you look at the book, it really says anonymous. The book was written truly as a gift to humanity for healing ourselves, healing relationship, and really ultimately in the quest for peace on earth. So the fact that it's put out as anonymous is, to me, really someone walking the talk. And the ironic thing is that the book speaks in quite a bit of religious terms. It's interesting that Helen Shipman wasn't religious at all. She was had no faith in God. And she was actually a professor at Columbia University, I believe. And if she was having discord there, as you know, what happens when so many people work together, there's often discord. And she went home and all of a sudden, and she wasn't a believer in channeling or anything like that. You know, a lot of people who channel, well, they read other books on channeling and they really wanted that to be a channel. No, all of a sudden this information started coming to her. And she had a clear idea that this was coming from Jesus, who, again, she was not a follower of Jesus. And her coworker suggested start writing the messages down. And that ultimately became A Course in Miracles.
Mm. So when did that come into your life?
That, I believe, and that's another book on my list, which we're going to get to. I think it was, you know, I'm trying to know which way around it was, but I believe I found Marianne Williamson first. And then she, especially early on, really spoke so much about the Course in Miracles. That was her text that she taught from. So it could have been through that. And then I found the book. And then, of course, now I have quite a few copies of that Course in Miracles book. And what I love, I mean, there's so many things about the course I love. And I also have that on audio, too. So a lot of times I'd be out rollerblading and listening to Course in Miracles, and certain passages have really stuck with me. So, you know, forgiveness is a concept that, you know, like many people, sometimes it's, you know, you can know all the cliches, you forgive for yourself, not for others, and all that. But sometimes I had struggled because I, in my head, I know I forgive, like someone has hurt me deeply. I can forgive in my mind, or even a parent, and you say, oh, well, this happened because of all their struggles, and you understand it. But if it's still in the cells of your body, have you really forgiven? You know, I mean, forgiveness needs to, in my view, needs to be a feeling where, in fact, in the Sufi way, they see forgiveness is as if the thing never happened. And wow, that's a high bar, as if it never happened. That's beautiful. One of the things I heard in A Course in Miracles that I thought that equally touched me was the idea that forgive your younger self, because you are no longer the person who that could happen to. And my intellectual mind kind of trapped around and I thought, yeah, if I go back to any experience in my life, I realize I'm not that person anymore. Mm. So again, it's not blaming yourself. It's realizing that you had to, for whatever reason, go through that, but it can't happen again because you're not that person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good shift in perception.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And Course in Miracles says that is the miracle. The miracle is simply a shift in perception.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Book number three, Touching Peace, Practicing the Art of Mindful Living by Thich Nhat Hanh, published in 1990. And this was the sequel to Being Peace.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So many wonderful gems from Thich Nhat Hanh. I think what moves me most, you know, when you read the teachings of Thich Nhat Hanh, it's almost like I can feel his beautiful spirit just pouring out over the pages. He just is such a peaceful person. And he has started this community in Plum Village. Is that in France? I think it's in... I'm not positive, Plum Village. And obviously he's from Vietnam himself. And so he's a real seeker of peace and a real missionary of peace. But in his village, he really talks about conflict resolution and the importance of really listening and listening with your heart And he writes a lot about finding happiness. And he talks about the four keys to cultivating happiness, which are love, compassion, joy, and equanimity. And I love the equanimity because really that is something so worth striving for, which is no matter what happens, it's all good. It's all against a backdrop of pure love and compassion. Mm-hmm. And he has some nice exercises. I love his idea of breathing in, I breathe in peace. Breathing out, I breathe out peace. So that's very profound. Just such a simple exercise to help bring down the nervous system and bring healing.
Mm. Book four, The Dynamic Laws of Healing by Catherine Ponder, 1972. And you say that her writings have been near and dear to your heart for decades. Why is that?
Yeah. They just speak to me. I remember years ago, we ended up at a retreat in California. I wasn't really on the path of science and mind per se, but ended up at the science of mind retreat, and she was there and spoke. And I ended up getting most of her books, and just her books, I have highlights throughout. And I just, and they're so simple, the way she writes. You know, it's about affirmative prayer, affirmations, but I love all her examples and the way her book has really helped cultivate my own faith. And she really talks about, you know, how through affirmative prayer, we can make amazing changes in our lives and even in our relationships. She talks a lot about she had a very difficult relationship. She married young with her mother-in-law, and how through affirmative prayer, she was able to turn that relationship around and become stronger herself. How she went from being a secretary with really no education to being this amazing, you know, minister and changed the lives of thousands. So I found her extremely, extremely inspirational, because it's not about religion. It's about, again, cultivating your inner relationship with the divine and being aware of your deepest thoughts and how those thoughts are creating the circumstances of your life, whether they're constructive or destructive. Either way, really reminding us of the amazing choices that we have.
I'm always interested in how books turn up in people's lives. You know, we've all had the experience where we go into a shop and bump, the book falls out. How did Catherine Ponder come into your life?
I'm pretty sure it was at the bookstore. Yeah. So this conference was at a place called Asilomar, which is in Monterey, California. And it was, I would say, late 80s, early 90s, you know, like could have been 1990. And there I was in that bookstore, and her books just jumped out, and I ended up, you know, as I did with books, just bought them all. And just her books have been life-changing for me.
Mm, yeah. Well, the fifth book on your list you've already talked a little bit about, and that is You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. What an incredible book. So, you know, I mean, so many people stand on her shoulders.
Yes.
You know, thank goodness for Louise. Is there anything you want to add to that, what you said earlier?
Just everything you said, and also the fact that not only was she an amazing, inspirational author for thousands, but that she started that publishing house, Hay House Publishing, and has brought the work forth for so many people who have, you know, stood on her shoulders, and all the authors afterwards, bringing wonderful message of a spirituality into the world, really to the mainstream. It's, you know, when I started, it was a hidden message, and now it's mainstream. Thanks a lot to people like Oprah, but still it's just a wonderful thing that, you know, the world has in many ways gotten so difficult, but in other ways, it's beautiful to see spirituality having gone mainstream.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So that's book five. We're going to take a short break now. You're listening to the No BS Spiritual Book Club's live streaming interview series, in which respected authors, teachers, and speakers share the 10 books that inspired them the most on their life journeys. And this week's guest is author, healthcare expert, and educator Rena Greenberg, who'll be sharing the final five books on her 10 best list and how these titles impacted her career choices after this short break. So Stay tuned.
Om Times TV.
Maya Angelou once said that there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and when I'm not hosting Om Times Media's flagship radio show, What Is Going On, and the No BS Spiritual Book Club, I help people share their untold stories. Books are my life, my joy, and my passion, and there is no greater reward than helping aspiring writers get their books out of their heads and into the hands of those who are waiting to read them. If you feel that you have a book in you, but don't know where to begin, visit sedgbeer.com, click on the Work With Me tab, and find out how my experience helping others tell their stories might be just what you've been looking for. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com.
Imagine becoming a super influencer. Reinvent yourself, invest in your brand, and then manifest your success with a robust, spheric approach. Om Times Media and Broadcasting offers a unique and multifaceted way to become the spiritual and conscious influencer you deserve to be by putting your message across our powerful platform with its proven record of integrity and excellence. Through our produced shows, Om Times offers the opportunity to become a social media TV personality, a radio show host, an Om Times magazine columnist, and a syndicated podcaster, all in one shot. By live streaming your show on Om Times TV and broadcasting it across the extensive Om Times radio and TV networks, you become more than a host. You become an ambassador and a force for positive change. Om Times. Open yourself to the possibilities.
There are 16 million children struggling with hunger in America. That's one in five daughters, sons, neighbors, and classmates who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Yet billions of pounds of good food go to waste every year. It's time we do something about it. Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks that helps provide meals to millions of kids and families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to help them feed even more. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Welcome back. Rena Greenberg, the next book on your list, book number six, is one of the most popular, best-selling, inspirational guides of all time. And I have never heard of it. So thank you for introducing that to me. And the book is The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. And it was published in 1963. So tell us about this book and the role it played in your life and your career.
Yeah, it played a big role in my life. You know, I mentioned I got sick at a young age. And so then I was really looking for inspiration. And fortunately for me, about a year or so after I got sick, I discovered biofeedback and hypnotherapy, which really helped me on my own journey of healing. Because prior to that, I really didn't have a conscious awareness of how the power of the mind can affect our healing and change our lives and help us to break those old unproductive habits and really create new ways of living, eating, and being. And so this was one of the books that did inspire me. And I ultimately even went on to have an entire career helping other people with hypnosis and biofeedback. This is a very powerful book, really, and it's very simple to read, which I love because, you know, I have a lot of really thick text, you know, and very complicated, and it can be very helpful too. But this book really just states very clearly the power of the imagination to change our lives, to change our reality. And it's really through imagination, visualization, and the being aware of the things we're telling ourselves, the suggestions. And so this book really, I would say, is the cornerstone of then the work. He doesn't call his work hypnotherapy. He never mentions that word. But for me, that has been, to a large degree, but it's fueled my hypnosis, helping people to change the pictures in the mind so they can easily become non-smokers or drop even over 100 pounds by changing the way they think about themselves and their relationships to food, to people, to any substances, anything outside themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And I love what he says, your mind has a mind of its own.
Yes, it does. That is so true. Yeah.
So book number seven, I love the theme of your books, all about, you know, you can do it yourself. You can do it yourself. And book number 7 is Personal Power Through Awareness, a guidebook for sensitive people by Sanaya Roman, 1986.
Oh, yeah. I love Sanaya Roman. I'll be honest, I just searched her today as I was, you know, getting ready to talk with you, and I wanted to see, you know, what was current with her. And I was sad to find that she had just died over the last year or so. But she was really a very strong influence in my life. Someone else that, I mean, I have all her books, they're dog-eared with the highlights through. And again, her way of speaking is very simple. She says that she is channeling Orin, but basically what it's all about, again, the power of the imagination. And it's interesting you're saying, you know, we can do it ourselves, yes. And yet a lot of us, they feel so alone. And to realize we're doing it ourselves, but we're not alone, because we have this divine power inside ourselves that we're accessing. And she has a lot of pearls of wisdom, but one that has really been very interesting to me and very helpful is seeing yourself through the eyes of others. So often I think people are worried, like, are we being judged? And not as aware of how much we're judging others, and also not always as aware of our effect on others. And so by seeing ourselves through the eyes of others, in other words, our effect on them and what they're going through and their experiences and their relationship to abundance or lack of it, or the issues in their own lives, and how you can be of much more value to them, and to be able to say, how can I help, rather than what's in this for me? Being there as a healing force for others.
You know, there's something about seeing ourselves through the eyes of others. You know, certainly in Britain, we're not encouraged to, you know, to focus on ourselves quite so much. And I think that sometimes to hear what someone else sees in you is amazing, because, you know, you tend to think that here you are in this body, in this mind, and you've got these set ideas about yourself, and someone else sees something that you've never seen in you. And that opens up whole new vistas on you. So I think it's quite important to look at yourself with other people and ask other people, you know, how do you see? How do I come across?
Right. Yes, it certainly can be quite awakening and inspiring to see, and not to be afraid of your own, you know, the negativity, but to realize that the positivity inside of you, the love inside of you, can override that negativity and just neutralize it.
So book number 8, we've been doing this show now for around about 2 years, I think, and we've done probably about 125 interviews, and everyone we've interviewed has contributed their 10 best lists, so multiply that by 10. The one book that I have been waiting for all that time finally turned up tonight on your list, and that is the incredible Hands of Light, A Guide to Healing Through the Human Energy Field by Barbara Brennan, which was published in 1987. Mm-hmm. That was a big game changer for me.
Yes. What an incredible book. What an incredible woman, Barbara Brennan. And and how I found Barbara Brennan was so interesting. My second daughter was born. She was born in 1996. And when my husband and I would have date night, we would go to the bookstore. We would each just sit there and read our own books. And that was our date night, and something we very much look forward to. And somehow, you talk about a book falling off the shelf. I mean, there it was, Hands of Light by Barbara Brennan. I had never heard of her, believe it or not, at that point. And I looked at this book, and the pictures in the book are amazing. She is blessed with, I looked her up too this morning. Turns out she had died in October. I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that either.
So, yeah, what an amazing woman she was, and what she brought to all of us. And she had such an interesting history, because she was a scientist. She worked for NASA. And yet then she started to see the human energy field. So in her book, she has beautiful illustrations of the human energy field and what she sees when we're in a state of love and what she sees and the different personality types. She goes into great detail about the seven layers of the energy field and all the chakras and how. So I was so inspired by her book. And I went over to my husband and I looked in the back of the book. She had an energy healing school. At that time, it was in New Jersey and I was living in Florida. I said, I have to go. And he's like, okay. I mean, he was so supportive. And so 5 times a year, I would fly to New Jersey for a week at a time. And people were coming from all over the world. They had a huge Japanese student base and they had interpreters going. And it was amazing. And we learned about the human energy field and healing ourselves, healing others. And I just had such amazing experiences at her school and using all these different healing methods. So it's been a real blessing in my life.
Yeah, her books have been pivotal in the lives and the, you know, careers of so many healers that I know.
Yes, yeah.
Another amazing person who's touched so many lives.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so book number 9, you mentioned her earlier, Marianne Williamson, Return to Love. This book comes up many times.
Yes.
Reflections on the Principles of A Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm. I just love Marianne. I was so blessed to actually, well, Marianne's with us, which is fabulous, but to actually know her, I say was because it was at a certain period of my life. I was doing these wellness seminars, helping people stop smoking and lose weight in hospitals. So I was based in Florida. I'd moved from New York to Florida in 1990 and started a family there and then started doing these seminars in Florida. And then in 1998, I actually had a crisis. We had a crisis and it was a financial crisis and really had lost everything. And it was amazing because I've just put my head down and prayed and my husband and I just, the idea came, let's go to Michigan. Neither of us, I'm from the Northeast. My husband's from Cape Cod. We had never been to Michigan. I didn't know anything about it. And everything fell into place to go to Michigan, to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I started to do my seminars in hospitals all around the Detroit area. And they were so open and receptive. And the people were open and receptive, again, to help people with weight loss and stop smoking. And I was only there a couple of months. We bought a second home in Ann Arbor because the business just took off, expanded, just grew. It was just amazing. And I had received a tape in the mail from Marianne Williamson, one of her audio recordings, you know, the cassette tapes. And I looked and I saw it was recorded in Warren, Michigan, which was less than an hour away of where we had bought this other home. So I said to my husband, let's go. So we started driving there every Sunday. It was this huge Unity church and Marianne was the minister. So every Sunday we got to listen to her amazing lectures. And of course, she spoke a lot about A Course in Miracles. But what I love most about Marianne, even to this day, and of course she just ran for office to be president of the United States. She is so authentic. She's so real. You know, and I think a lot of spiritual teachers will get up on the platform sometimes and the message is sort of, I used to be messed up, but now I'm enlightened. And I love Marianne because Marianne's really makes it evident that we could fall into the pitfalls of the ego in any given moment. We always have to choose next moment, love. We have to choose it again and again, love versus fear, because the ego always wants to choose the opposite. And so she has just been such a huge inspiration for me. And then I had the added bonus where she endorsed my book. And that was incredible. So,
yeah, you've had quite a few people endorse your books and your work. Bernie Siegel. Yeah, so many.
I feel very blessed. Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So book number 10, maybe not what people would expect. The Wizard of Oz by Frank Baum. 1900, America's first great fairy tale.
Yes, it is. But you know, it's so much more than, I mean, so well done. I mean, the book is amazing. And then of course, you know, most of us have seen the movie, but to me, it's, you know, it's more than just a fairy tale. It is really such a great depiction of life. You know, the idea, I mean, the favorite part, of course, is at the end when, you know, Dorothy is finally the secret. All she wants to do is go home. And then the good witch tells her, you just have to click your heels 3 times. Oh, my God, it was that simple all along. Why didn't you tell me? Ah, my dear, because you wouldn't have believed me. She had to go through that whole yellow brick road, all her adventures to meet the Tin Man, the Lion, the Scarecrow, all these characters. And another amazing spiritual aspect of that book is, what was she looking for? She was looking for the wizard. The wizard was going to take away all her problems. Aren't we all looking for the guru? We're looking for that healer. We're looking for something out there. And then to see, after all that, she finally got to the wizard and pulls the curtain. Toto pulls the curtain and he's not a wizard at all. He's no better than anyone else. He's no different. And that's such a profound teaching, you know, that where is the wizard? It's always, you know, the true wizard. It's in our own hearts.
It's
a classic.
I don't know if you know, but his name was actually Lyman Frank Baum, but he didn't like Lyman, so he only used Frank. And he was really prolific. He had he was a theatre producer, a playwright, a newspaper editor and reporter, and a publisher. And he wrote 14 novels in the Oz series and published, I think, 41 other novels, 83 short stories, 200 poems, and at least 42 scripts. My goodness.
Wow.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, and he's so creative. What a blessing that he shared it all, you know, that he got it all down out there.
Yes. But apparently there's still 4 lost, unpublished novels. So wherever they may be, somebody's sitting on a gold mine.
Yes.
So that is your 10 best list. Of all these 10 books, which do you think had the biggest impact on you?
That's a hard question, Sandy. That's a hard question. Because you can see that the theme on most of them is the same. So it'd be hard to just credit one author, because they have all, in their own unique way. And that's what's so interesting. The message can pretty much be the same, but each person has a unique way. Sometimes people feel like, oh, what have I got to share because it's all been said? But no, because when we share from our own unique way, where there's always someone out there that we're going to be able to touch and move or reach in a way that maybe someone else was not able to, or the timing might not have been right at the time. And sometimes it might be cumulative. So that's interesting. You're saying which of the 10 books, but maybe it's the accumulation.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Obviously, Wizard of Oz, the first, that was obviously my first, because I saw that movie when I was very young. And so it's, you know, the accumulation of really seeing the theme over and over and being ready to finally say, you know, sometimes it feels hard to believe, you know, that your mind can be that powerful. Another book, which I didn't include on my list, but I just love the title, is Mind is Healer, Mind is Slayer. You know, Mind is Healer. Because it's both. I want to say Ken. I don't want to say the wrong. You know what? I'm not going to say, because I'm not certain, and I don't want to credit to the wrong person. I'll have to Google it.
So at what point in your life did you, you know, decide, that is it, I am going to move into this, you know, health and well-being career, I'm going to develop programs? And why did you pick, you know, smoking and weight loss?
Yeah, you know, it just happened so naturally for me. When I got sick, nobody knew the cause of why I got sick. And in fact, I was 26 years old. I was admitted into Brooklyn Methodist Hospital. I was, you know, laying there in the cardiac care unit, all wired up, and, you know, it was a teaching hospital. So I was surrounded by doctors, and they were doing an interview and saying, you know, trying to figure out what was going on with me. And they said, you know, history, they're doing the history. And I said, well, you know, I didn't really have such a healthy lifestyle. Maybe my eating wasn't that good. And the doctors, and, you know, this was decades ago, so there was really not any awareness about it and not any openness. You know, and they immediately told me that was absolutely ridiculous, that this could never be caused, like a slow heart rate that had gone down to 30s could never have been caused by anything in my lifestyle or what I was eating. Now, they actually may have been right, that the cause may have been genetic, it may have been environmental, we don't know. But all I knew was I had a very strong direct knowing that all I could do was control what I could control. And then I set about to change my habits using the tools and techniques, you know, from these books, The Power of the Imagination, changing the focus, changing the habits, changing my associations with the wrong foods or with the cigarettes or the alcohol. So I ended up, you know, releasing all those bad habits. And then I just wanted to teach others to do the same. I felt so free, far beyond just healing myself from that. But now all of a sudden I just felt so much more alive and so much more energized. And it just felt like I had to get the message out to others. And I was so thrilled that the vehicle ended up being through corporate seminars and through seminars in hospitals, because I ended up loving working with groups because of the group energy and group support. And that's what I did, you know, for decades prior to the work I'm doing now.
So. What is it, you know, specifically that makes your program so successful? Because, you know, there's a million ways to lose weight out there, and there's a million plans for giving up smoking. What do you think yours have got that make them different?
I think that deep down, you know, no matter how much people have struggled, people want to know, people seek truth, and people know truth when they hear it. And people seek self-empowerment. Deep inside, people want to believe the reality that they have this power inside of them. Even if they have spent, because people come to me at all ages. I mean, I've had people come to me even in their 70s and 80s, but I think at all points in our life, or at all, it can happen at any age, that we get to a point where we realize, I've already tried everything. I'm usually not people's first stop. They've already tried every diet, or they've been in therapy for 20 years. They already know, you know, what happened in their childhood, but they still haven't been able to make the changes in their lives. And the point of my program is to say, none of that matters. We're going to start here and now in this moment. And we're going to create a new image of yourself in your mind, a new way of relating, whether it's to cigarettes, to food, to your partner, whatever it is that's causing you pain and struggle and stress and unhappiness. And through that, and I'm here to help. I'm here to help you to get to connect your own inner strength and courage to be able to make those changes. Because the ego says, but they're so mean, but they're acting this way. Yeah, but you know, the food's here every day and everyone else gets to eat this food and all the excuses. But when we can land on a new way of thinking and seeing ourselves and new images to run in the mind, that's what I call the self-hypnosis. And we just keep repeating it and practicing and repeating it. And then we see the change. And at first it might be a small change. Wow, I was at that birthday party and I didn't even want the cake. Wow, you know, like we would have thought. And then we build on that and build on that and build on that until that's so normal. We don't even remember the person who would have been the first one to grab the cake. We're not that person anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we said earlier, sometimes we need to know more about ourselves, you know, rather than hold on to the same images that we've always had. And when we can shift that picture, we can do an awful lot.
Exactly. Right. Right. And I think a big piece of that, you know, you asked it before about my connection with the Sufism. What really drew me to the Sufism, I wouldn't say more so, but very deeply in relation to a lot of the other spirituality that I've studied, is the focus on the compassion, opening the heart with compassion for ourselves, for others, for all of humanity. And I love that concept. Also, I love the idea of physically, you know, sometimes like we'll think we're fine, everything's fine, but if you feel into your chest and your heart or your belly, you're holding, and it's not melting, it's not dissolving, it's not opening, releasing, letting go. And so I love that idea of really also feeling in your body, you know, am I opening my base? Am I here in this moment, opening my heart and allowing myself to receive the safety that's already here? Mm-hmm. So Neville Goddard talked about that, like all the states of being are already here, whether it's poverty, abundance, fear, safety. But we can move between these states. We can move into a state of safety and feel very, very secure there.
Mm. And recently, you've also added an organic CBD line of wellness yes. products. Tell yes. us about your experiences with CBD.
That was another thing I completely fell into. Honestly, Sandy, I never saw myself, you know, I didn't really sell products all these years. I just, the only product I had created was back in 2010, Slender Cider, which was a concentrated tea of fresh brewed herbs and a base of organic apple cider vinegar with a little bit of cherry concentrate and lemon concentrate, mostly the herbal formula. And the goal was to help people to cut the physical cravings for food. So the hypnosis would help with the psychological, the emotional, but the Slender Cider helped cut the physical cravings, and it worked great. And that was it. That was, you know, the only product I sold. And then I'd say about 5 years ago, I have glaucoma, and that was diagnosed 2008 or so, but it was pretty much under control. But about 5 years ago, my ophthalmologist was saying that it really was no longer in control, that the pressures in the eye were going up, and I would need surgery, or I would need, you know, more medication, and I didn't want either. So my husband suggested, why don't I try CBD? And my immediate response was, oh, no, I don't want, you know, anything to do with, you know, marijuana. I've been clean for whatever 20 some years. I'm not going to put any substances in my body. And then I started to research and saw that, no, there's no psychoactive component to medical grade CBD, authentic CBD. And when I used it, not only did the pressures in my eyes go down and my ophthalmologist said, you're great, we don't need to do anything, but I noticed all these other benefits in terms of I'm sleeping better. I felt my hormones leveled out, my blood sugar leveled out, just a greater sense of well-being. So I wanted to share the message with my following. And that's when I discovered that there was so much misinformation in the world of CBD, just a lot of hype, so I wanted to educate people. I ended up writing a book, which I'm actually giving free, called CBD for Health and Wellness, you know, Questions You Should Be Asking. And it really tells everything a person needs to know from A to Z, buying CBD, what to look for in a label, what to look for in a certificate of analysis, how to know what the different types of CBD are. It's about five different types and which you know, what type is best for whatever you're trying to accomplish within yourself. And through that, I also ended up creating a line of medical grade, the highest quality CBD products so that people could get real results when it comes to pain control, sleeping, and relieving anxiety.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There is so much misinformation out there, and it's, you know, it's both a boon and a shame that it has become so popular, because it does create so many opportunities for people, you know, to get confused.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And so my goal is just to help sort that out. So CBD doesn't work for everyone, but it's amazing how many people it can help, whether it's a very high quality cream for pain, or taking some orally. And so at least with the book, I feel like I put all the information out there and then people can just decide for themselves.
That's really good. That's useful. I mean, the other thing that, you know, I've witnessed is that, you know, there weren't any standards. You know, somebody's form of CBD might be stronger, weaker, whatever, different than somebody else's. My sister was taking, my sister has passed now, but she had stage 4 lung cancer, and she was taking CBD, and she got it from one dispensary, but then when she went to another dispensary thinking she was buying the same thing, it wasn't the same at all.
Oh no.
So it, you know, it is important that there's a lot of good information available for people.
Yeah, right. And that's why I provide it free too, that people can just download my book for free, because I want to get the information out there. So what happened to your sister doesn't happen to someone else.
Yeah. So you've written two other books, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Right Way, W-E-I-G-H, that's my Hay House book. Mm. And then my second book was originally published by McGraw-Hill as The Craving Cure, but I reissued it in 2019 as Easy Sugar Breakup. And, you know, we all hear now more than, you know, again, 30 some years ago, the information about sugar wasn't out there. Now it's pretty well known that sugar is a drug, what it can do to us mentally, physically, emotionally. But my book is really a how to really get off sugar, because that was my journey. You asked why did I fall into weight loss? I had a lot of bad habits, but eating sugar was really probably the worst. And some people say, oh, I don't really eat sugar, but okay, processed foods. I mean, because it's all, you know, sugar. It moves into sugar very quickly in the bloodstream. Yeah. And it can just wreak havoc on your health. If not physically, then definitely mentally and emotionally. So I have a system to help all of us just get off sugar and feel great about it and enjoy food more than ever without ever having to be on a diet.
Mm. Very cool. Very cool. Yes. Rena Greenberg, thank you so much for adding your 10 best spiritual books to the 10 best spiritual books library of recommendations. We're so glad to have your contribution.
Thank you, Sandy.
It's been a pleasure.
Yes, me too. Thank you.
Okay, so if you want to know more about Rena's work, you can go to her website, which is RenaGreenberg.com. You can also go to RenasOrganic.com to find out about the CBD and EasyWillpower.com.
Yes, yes. Best would be EasyWillpower.com and RenasOrganic.com for the CBD. Easy Willpower for the hypnosis.
Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, so check out those websites. That's it for this week. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'll be back at the same time next week with another 10 Best interview for the No BS Spiritual Book Club. Till then, it's goodbye from me, and thank you to Rena Greenberg.
Thank you.